This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. Now, here's your host, Faraz Siddiqui and Zach Rizzuto.
What's up, everybody? Listen, I know how you're feeling. I don't know how you're feeling. Maybe you're feeling good. Maybe you're not feeling so good. This is a very emotional time of year for fantasy football players everywhere. It's either you're making your way to the championship. You might have a chance to make your way to the championship tonight. A lot of fantasy players tonight, you know, with the Chargers and Colts. Right? You got Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Justin Herbert, Michael Pittman, Zach Moss or Deion Jackson. There's a lot of players left on the slate, and I'm sure you'll be depending on a bunch of them going into week 17, which is the fantasy championship week. This is our last week of podcast in terms of 5 days a week. Next week we'll be going to, I haven't actually decided yet. Either 2 or 3 days a week. I don't even know yet, to be honest with you. But we're not going to be putting on a full week of shows for week 18, because at the end of the day, there's going to be so much going on. Like, we're hoping that your fantasy championship is done.
Yeah.
Either already done in week 16, which I know a lot of leagues just forgot to change their settings. And then week 17, which is the, you know, the championship week for most fantasy football players.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a crazy week. You know, we don't know exactly what the schedule is going to be moving forward, but I don't know if people realize it is a lot to go through and do an episode, you know, every day like we do.
Yeah.
And then having the same content, it ends up like putting us through the ringer every single week, doing the same thing over and over. Like, we're going to try and get some good content together for the rest of the offseason. Obviously, week 18 isn't technically the offseason. I don't know. I've been in leagues where it goes to week 18. That was just like this past year, but it's no fun when that happens. So we're assuming that you have it set up correctly, that you don't have to worry about a championship in week 18, because there's just so much going on as far as players sitting and all that stuff.
Now, we will go over, so, you know, in, so next week on Friday, we will go over, you know, the situations, right? Because there's going to be some teams not playing their starters, right? There's going to be a bunch of teams sitting their guys because they got nothing to play for. It's going to be a very tricky week. We're going to get a lot wrong next week, straight up. But we'll do our best to kind of decipher, you know, what's going on around the league and, you know, make sure that you guys are, you know, in tune with, you know, the best plays going into week 18 in case you need it. Okay. So we will be there. Now, this is a very interesting weekend, man. A lot of overperformers, a lot of underperformers, a lot of studs not coming through. Interesting week. The weather was shitty. We kind of knew, you knew that going in. Fabian Rodriguez here. Good morning, Faraz and Zach. Y'all got me in the finals with George Kittle scoring 30. No, it was George Kittle.
Yeah.
Who got you in the finals, man. 2 touchdowns. Dude, Brock Purdy's loving him some George Kittle. So that's awesome, Fabian. Good for you, man. Glad you punched your ticket in. Sean over here, Moss or Jackson tonight. He needs a combined 20 points from Keenan Allen and one of these running backs in half PPR. You know, listen, like the whole week, you know, we've been going Moss over Jackson. All the indications have been pointing to Moss being the starter in tonight's game and being the guy on early downs. As long as this game doesn't turn into a one with the Chargers just leading the whole way and, like, you know, kind of blowing them out a little bit, I think Moss is going to be involved. According to all the reports, Moss seems like he's going to be the guy. Especially in half-point PPR, you figure that Moss will get those goal line carries if they do end up getting there. So, good matchup. Probably want to go with the guy who's going to get it done on early downs. That's where I'm leaning, Sean. But yeah, man, let's get into it, dude. Like, We got a lot to talk about, you know, from the, you know, we're going to go over all the takeaways from week 16. You know, and so that you, if you're making your way into week 17 championship weekend, you're fully prepared, as to, you know, who to start and how these situations are looking. Let's start with Atlanta real quick. Tyler Allgeier, he took a big lead in the Falcons backfield, this week, 18 carries to Patterson's 8, but also 4 catches on 5 targets, 23 opportunities for Allgeier in this one. He also led with 59% of snaps to Patterson's 37%, and he led goal line snaps 3-1. He had a role on early downs. He had a role on passing downs. He had some 2-minute snaps, and now he has a great matchup against Arizona this upcoming week.
Yeah, I mean, he looked really good, and this is kind of going along the lines of what I kind of called this. I don't want to, you know, pat myself on the back too much, but I'm saying, you know, like Desmond Ridder, Tyler Allgeier, Drake London, kind of leading the youth movement for the Falcons. I think they're just going to see what they have at this point in the players that they drafted, you know, this season. And that's kind of what we saw this week. Tyler Allgeier outpacing Cordero Patterson. Obviously, Patterson's a bit older. You know, we're wondering if, you know, he's run out of tread on the tires. But in this offense, it looks like Allgeier is going to be the guy the rest of the way, even though it's like only one realistically relevant fantasy week left this season. Avery Williams didn't have whole much impact. You know, he only had 3 carries. He did have 2 targets. You know, that kind of dropped Cordero Patterson's route participation in that a little bit, but it's nothing to worry about, you know, for Tyler Allgeier. I like Tyler Allgeier the rest of the way. I think he could be a low-end RB2 next week with some upside, like you said, against Arizona.
Definitely. We talked about Drake London last week, right? Second good game now with Desmond Ridder. 27% target share. He caught 7 of 9 for 96 yards in this one. So now I'm feeling a lot more comfortable playing him next week as a wide receiver 3 against Arizona now, right? Like, it's a good matchup again. Tom Brady didn't think so, but last night. But it is a good matchup, you know, for, you know, I'm assuming that Drake London will be able to do his thing. But now we have a 2 out of 2 game sample size with Desmond Ridder. You know, and Drake London has been averaging 10 targets and 7 catches over his last 2 games with Ridder.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we were kind of hoping for. You know, we know that Marcus Mariota wasn't looking his way a whole lot, and Drake London had become obsolete at that point. Guys like Demir Byrd and Olamide Zaccheaus were getting targets over him. He had some quiet days with Marcus Mariota, but it looks like better days are ahead, not just this season, but even for maybe for next season. Say, should Desmond Ridder start, you know, and be the guy next season, at least for the beginning of 2023. But what we saw from Drake London, like you said, the targets are definitely there, and he's now reliable. I'm not saying he's like an upside guy. This isn't someone I'm like super excited to put in my lineup, but somebody who previously had 0 value sitting on your bench, you know, now he's getting those targets. At least he has the opportunity. He's a very nice flex play, I think, next week. A wide receiver 3, I would be a little bit hesitant to put him in there. If you have that third wide receiver slot, there might be guys with better upside, but we'll see. He does have the target share going for him. So in a desperate spot, I think you could start him, and he has a little bit of upside because of that target share he's getting. He's got to catch a touchdown one of these times. He's had 32 targets the last 3 games that he's played, and he doesn't have any touchdowns. That could go up.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, given his wingspan and his ability, you know, to get contested catches, Drake London can definitely do his thing. And, you know, the way I look at it is this, like, you know, if I'm going to rank Michael Pittman as a wide receiver 3, I'm going to rank Drake London as a wide receiver 3 as well. They're getting similar type of, you know, opportunity right now. And I think that, you know, they're going to have similar type of stat lines, you know, moving forward the rest of the way. So yeah, I think I'm cool with Drake London next week against Arizona. I think he'll be in my lineup at least as a flex play. We talked about tempering expectations on J.K. Dobbins, you know, and this is why, you know, 12 carries for him, 11 carries for Gus Edwards, and Gus Edwards happens to be the one to outperform him in this one. And we knew that this was going to be split down the middle, 50-50, and it's been that the entire time since Dobbins was back. It just so happens that Dobbins couldn't capitalize and be nearly as efficient as he was over the previous 2 games.
Right, yeah, that's been the case, you know, the whole season. I mean, obviously he was efficient the last couple of weeks, but we're not sure how long that could last. You know, he had that low carry count, and that's kind of been, you know, our quip with him. But Gus Edwards looked much more efficient yesterday. Neither of them scored, so it looks like both of them are going to have a relatively low upside. The Ravens offense just doesn't look good with Lamar Jackson in it. I'm looking at the game, like, even just looking aside of the stats, like the record for Baltimore, I can't believe they're 10-5. Like, it's crazy. I think they've had some good matchups these past few weeks, or they didn't have to do a whole lot of scoring. Their defense is playing better as of late, but as long as Tyler Huntley or anybody else is a quarterback, it seems like this is pretty much a fantasy wasteland. I wouldn't trust J.K. Dobbins next week either. We saw this type of performance. We knew this was in the cards. He was overproducing a little bit the past few weeks. I'm not really excited to start either of these guys, especially with the way that we saw the carry split, pretty much 50-50 right down the middle.
100%. They got Pittsburgh next week. You know, the matchup isn't amazing. It's not terrible, but, you know, not something I'm, you know, really like looking forward to starting J.K. Dobbins in my lineup in championship weekend, unless you really need a running back. Listen, I have a hot take here, man. Mark Andrews, I think he's a bigger bust than Jonathan Taylor. I really think so. Mark Andrews was being drafted in the second round, you know, in all drafts. Right. Yeah. Me personally, you know, I was staying away from Mark Andrews this year. And honestly, the reason, one of the reasons why, is because of his splits with Mark, you know, with of all people, Tyler Huntley and Lamar Jackson. Right. But even with Tyler Huntley this year, he's still not able to get it done. Right.
And yeah, he's been on an extreme cold streak.
Dude, early on in the year, like, you know, he's had some big games. Right. He's had 1, 2, 3, 4 big games in the first 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
After that, you've been playing him and you really haven't been getting that much. Now, at least Jonathan Taylor, you know, he was able to kind of fill in for you at least as a mid RB2, you know, for the most part, I would say. And, you know, I feel like he can kind of get by. Mark Andrews, you know, he got it done for you early in the year, but now when it matters most, you know, he's not coming through. He's not coming through at all. And it's tough because he's had 4 straight games under 10 PPR points. He sees Pittsburgh next week. Are you looking for another option for Mark Andrews if Lamar Jackson's back?
Yeah. Okay, hang on. If Lamar Jackson's back, I don't know. If Lamar Jackson comes back, I might roll the dice just one more time just to see what I can get, because we know what Mark Andrews can be. And, you know, you talk about if Mark Andrews bigger bust than Jonathan Taylor. I don't know if that's the case. You know, Jonathan Taylor, he was drafted – pretty much at the 101. I think he was going 50-50 at least between him and Christian McCaffrey at the 101. Obviously, we knew Mark Andrews, you know, he's a tight end. We know what he can be at tight end. He was a difference maker last year. He finished over Travis Kelce, I think, last year. So we thought that, you know, this would be fantastic. You know, Lamar Jackson comes back. He's going to be the only pass catcher outside of Rashad Bateman. You know, targets have to go somewhere, but that hasn't been the case this season. I think that Jonathan Taylor, the way he was drafted, and Mark Andrews, knowing he was a tight end, tight ends have much less positional value than running backs, I think, at this point. So I think it's hard to call him a bigger bust, you know, overall than Jonathan Taylor. But definitely for tight ends, you know, he should be scoring more points than he has been, especially by his own standard, like we saw the past few years. But these numbers that he's putting up, you know, this is like typical low-end tight end one numbers. It's just not what we're used to seeing from Mark Andrews. I think that's why he might feel like a bigger bust than he might actually be. But if Lamar Jackson's back, I know it's going to be super tough to trust him in your lineup. There's nobody else really that I'm going to say, yeah, you have to start over him. We know what Mark Andrews can be. And the way that the tight ends have been playing this year, it's been so up and down. If you have Mark Andrews, I would just start him, because at this point, I don't like a whole lot outside of him.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. But, you know, I'll give you a few tight ends I might be starting over Mark Andrews next week.
Well, yeah. Okay. So let's see. You know, you want to go through him? Like Evan Engel.
TJ Hockenson.
Yep.
TJ Hockenson. Yes. Evan Ingram. Yes. Dalton Schultz. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
It's all Dalton Schultz. I think I would.
I think
George Kittle.
Yeah. Yes. I think it could be a game on the ground for the Cowboys against the Titans, because it's supposed to be cold. but
Tennessee is pretty good against the run, right? Yeah. So maybe not. Dallas Goedert. Yes, I would. That's about it. Pat Freiermuth. Maybe. Tyler Higbee after last night's game?
Well, Baker Mayfield's targeting him like crazy. So, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So,
that Rams game was weird.
We'll see. We'll find out on Thursday when I put those rankings up, and you'll see Mark Andrews at number 2 behind Kelce. Watch.
It's been the default. It's one more week for us. Let's not shake it up too much.
And then he ends up going off. Yeah. We talked about Devin Singletary and James Cook potentially having a bigger role this week against the Bears, and both basically ended up rushing for 100 yards each. I would not expect that against Cincinnati this upcoming week. You know, I don't really want to start either, you know, because the the work is basically split down the middle, or Singletary might get a little bit of a lead there. If I do start one, it'll be Singletary. But, you know, not super excited to start either next week. They can obviously get in for a fluky touchdown here and there, but, yeah, you know, I wouldn't really depend on it. One note for next year, Singletary is set to be a free agent this offseason. So James Cook, you know, he could be the guy next year, right? He's shown that he can be a legit early down back too. You know, despite his size, like, he's obviously a little bit undersized, but, you know, he's been looking good. You know, obviously, his forte has been in the pass game at Georgia, but now, like, and, you know, his yards at the contact, you know, missed tackles force hasn't been too high in college, but, you know, he's been looking good in the run game in the NFL when he's when he's given his opportunities. So he could be, you know, some sort of like Tony Pollard light next year, potentially. I don't expect him to get like 20 touches a game, but he could see 15 to 18 touches for the Bills offense and be perfectly fine next year. We'll see if Nyheim Hines is involved or not. You know, I don't know what Nyheim Hines' contract situation is. I'll take a look at that in a second, but, you know, I think next year James Cook has a chance to really be a legit fantasy asset.
I think that's a good call. You know, we talked about this, I think, a little bit earlier in the season about this, when we were talking about these two running backs. You know, Devin Singletary could be on his way out. James Cook could be a value next year. Just to, you know, hit on the game quick, but, you know, what we saw just this last week, both of these running backs averaged over 8 yards a carry on 12 and 11 carries. I'm not expecting that to happen again at all. That's, you know, not really sustainable at this point.
And it was the Bears.
Yeah, it was the Bears. So that was a good matchup for them. But I'm not expecting that to happen, like I said, on a week-to-week basis. Although I'd love to see James Cook, you know, next season get some more touches. And just about Nyheim Hines, talk about a confusing trade. Like, did they trade for him to be their kick returner? Like, that's the only time I've seen him on the field besides that one touchdown he caught last week. It was just like one passing snap that he caught a touchdown, if that's what it was. It's just, I don't understand what the Bills traded for him. If this is why the Bills traded for him, if this is how they were going to use him, you know, I figured he would get passing down snaps and, you know, James Cook might not be as involved, but that hasn't been the case. So it's interesting to see how they've used him. I'm not really factoring him in any conversation right now next season, unless they come out and say that, yes, this is going to be our guy. Nyheim Hines is going to be the guy moving forward. If I'm Nyheim Hines, I'm confused why I was traded there too. You know, it looked like they were planning to use him and they just haven't. So, especially if you picked him up on the waiver wire, it's been pretty disappointing too from a fantasy perspective.
Nyheim Hines is they do have an out in his contract with zero dead cap after this season. So we'll see if he's even on the team this you know, after this year. If they do decide to keep him, they're gonna be $5-6 million in the hole against the cap this year. So someone to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Dawson Knox has really been coming on lately. Three straight games with a touchdown. You know, continue to play him as a tight end one next week. Like, whenever we see a streak of touchdowns for a tight end, you know, they automatically become a tight end one. That is now our process for taking our best shot at starting a tight end.
Right. Yeah. Like, we saw that with Juwan Johnson and now it's happening with Dawson Knox. I think that's absolutely correct. This is kind of what you have to rely on. If he's on a hot streak, you just take him, you know, ride that hot hand until you can't, because there aren't that many hot hands in the league going around. Consistency has been nowhere for tight ends besides Travis Kelce. Everyone else has just been so fluky and all over the place, you can't trust them. So I think Dawson Knox, you know, the way he's playing, definitely. Although I'm not sure. In this game, Stephon Diggs only had two targets. You know, he caught both of them for 26 yards. It was a rougher weather game. It's just interesting to see Dawson Knox outpace Stephon Diggs, you know, in the passing game.
Stephon Diggs has been on a little bit of a cold streak since week 14.
A couple of receivers have, but
Jets.
Yeah.
Jets, Miami, and Chicago. Yeah, I'm sure you're talking about Devontae Adams right now, but Stephon Diggs, Stephon Diggs over the last 3 weeks, single digit fantasy points in PPR. Actually, no, Miami, he had 10.7.
Just over, so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but still, man, like not great. You know, this is a guy that you really trying to depend on. Not a great matchup against Cincinnati next week, but regardless, like, he, you know, you're still starting him. You know, he could come through with a monster game and be the overall wide receiver one, right? So you're never thinking about replacing him, but still a little bit disappointing. And, you know, if you were depending on him this week, it's very possible that you started him and because of him, you weren't able to make it to the next round.
Yeah.
Speaking of Stephon Diggs, my opponent had him this week. So in our league, the only league that matters. And if all goes well tonight, Zach, I'll be punching my way to our fantasy championship.
That's going
to
be pretty crazy. Let's see how this goes. Who you have? So he has Gerald Everett tonight?
That's it. I'm up by 20, and I still have two players left. Keenan Allen and
oh my god, and, yeah. What are you sweating about? We're going to the fantasy championship, baby.
Oh, I'm not sweating. I'm not sweating at all.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be sweating that.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. We're going to the fantasy championship, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. I don't think that we're going to see anything like that unless Justin Herbert exclusively targets Gerald Everett. We're not going to see anything like that.
You know, it's funny. Yeah. We kind of knew who the champ. What we kind of knew going into yesterday, who might be in the championship. You know, going up against me.
Yeah.
But Jalen Waddle came through and had a huge game, and the guy who was down, Rich, he was down in that matchup, and Jalen Waddle came through, and now he's up by like 0.2. 0.2
yeah,
points or something like that.
Like it looks like 0.14 points.
Yeah,
so insane, just 4.5 passing yards.
Insane.
That's the difference.
Insane.
It's crazy. Insane.
So, yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Well, if he makes it through, it's me and my close buddies. We're gonna go up against each other.
Yeah,
and you know what? You know what's funny about him? That's his first time ever
playing fantasy football. Yeah, I
think everybody else in this league are veterans, I would say. Fantasy football veterans. They, you know, we have some fantasy football analysts we have like 4 or 5 fantasy football analysts in this league.
Yeah.
We have, you know, a couple close friends or whatever, and this is a guy I've been trying to get to play fantasy football for a while. Sometimes, you know, you need that unique perspective, right? Where you're just like, you know, we overanalyze a lot of times. And then he comes in like, oh, this guy's scoring points. I'm going to add him.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to, right? And like literally that's how he's made it all the way.
It takes away the inhibition when it comes to waivers and stuff like that. You
right.
know, you're not worried about how it's going to go. You just pick up the guy on the hot streak. Sometimes that's how it works and sometimes that's not how it works. So I think it's beginner's luck. We've seen this many times.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Like if you play March Madness too, like I played March Madness last year and I got my sister of all people to play and she won. So it's beginner's luck. she probably picked them based on like the colors of the teams and that's who she wants to win. I couldn't believe it. But that
he
was
has
like
a
yeah, go
he
ahead.
Has a good team. So,
yeah.
You know, I am worried next week. He has a really good team. So we'll see how that ends up going. If he beats me in the championship, man, I'm going to be sick. I should never have invited him to this league.
hey, well, you're in second place at least, so you'll be getting more than your money back in this league, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be okay with that. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not okay with that. I'm looking for first place. It's first place or bust, baby. That's
all right,
it,
man.
That's all I want. I want that trophy. We are going to get a perpetual trophy, by the way, that we'll be passing around in our league, so that should be fun. Justin Fields, he couldn't come through,
yeah,
unfortunately, in this one. Only 11 rushing yards on 7 carries. The Bills, you know, it seemed like they came prepared, you know, for this game. They didn't allow Fields to get anything going in the run game. And therefore, he didn't come through. Like, if he's not going to come through in the run game, like, he's just not going to come through, period. Especially given the fact that he has no wide receivers. But against Detroit next week, though, if you were able to overcome Justin Fields' performance, if you had some other guys go off, you got to fire Fields up against Detroit. You know, he had 40 points. Against Detroit the first time he went up against them in 4-point pass touchdown scoring.
Yeah, that's absolutely, you know, don't worry about this performance, you know, against the Bills in bad weather. I'm not worried about it. You know, he still was efficient in the passing game. You know, he had 119 yards and a touchdown on 15 and 23 completions. So it wasn't bad in the passing game. It's just a rushing supplement wasn't there. So, yeah, definitely next week start him against Detroit. We saw what he did the first time, like you said, with those 40 points on the ground. He had that long rushing touchdown too. I'm not paying too much attention to this as far as a fantasy perspective with Justin Fields. It's his first dud since I think like week 5 or 6. You know, he's been playing fantastic outside of that. It was bound to happen, and it was funny because I actually think I said last week on the podcast that he might be due for a quiet game, and it kind of happened this week. So I'm not worried about Justin Fields at all. I figured at some point it was going to happen. Definitely next week, just fire him up like you were last week. He's still going to be a top 5 fantasy quarterback, if not maybe top 3, you know, against Detroit next week for the fantasy championship.
And, you know, his backfield mate, David Montgomery, he played about 66% of snaps with Khalil Herbert back. So he's still in the RB2 conversation next week against the Lions. You know, and we'll get to Chuba Hubbard and those guys, you know, soon. But, like, you know, the Lions were so super stout, you know, against the run. But the good thing is that, you know, David Montgomery is involved in the pass game enough to where you can play him and he can give you a solid floor regardless. Even if Khalil Herbert gets a few more snaps than he did this week, you know, than he did this week in week 17.
Yeah, I don't know about Khalil Herbert really.
At this okay. point. Oh, you're not. Okay.
He might still come back. You know, I don't think his touches are going to go up too much more to bite in Dave Montgomery's workload, because it's pretty much Justin Fields, Dave Montgomery, and then maybe Khalil Herbert can jump in on this offense. But outside of that, there's not really much I like. I mean, Cole Kmet had a quiet game too, so Justin Fields is out of options in the passing game. They're going to have to use the running backs. I think Dave Montgomery is their guy for next week.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.